42. Every technology is used before it is completely understood. There is always a lag between an innovation and the apprehension of its consequences. The quote from George's book popped into Caro's mind as Trevor was being wheeled into the OR. Who had said it? Leon somebody? Whistler or Winter or Weister? Something like that. She had no idea why she recalled it now, but it had something to do with Trevor looking small and helpless under a heated white blanket. He wore a hospital gown, a catheter, and a smile for her that could have ignited a supernova. Caro's heart tore down its seam. "Hi, Doc," he said.
"Ready?"
"Yes. Cut away." As Molly put Trevor under, and Ralph Egan stood by as backup, Trevor kept his gaze locked on Caro until the last possible moment. When he was out, Caro's mind clicked into professional mode, and he wasn't Trevor any longer. He was a skull and a brain. Mostly, anyway. The implant went flawlessly. She left Ralph to close, went into the scrub room, leaned on both hands against the sink, and closed her eyes for a long moment. Then she stripped off her gloves and gown and shoved them into the bio-waste bin. Trevor could now enter into a world of his own making, or imagining, or something. And Caro could not. Always a lag between an innovation and the apprehension of its consequences. Leon, baby, you had no idea. The day after Trevor's surgery was publication date for George's book, The Primacy of the Observer. Caro organized a small celebration at dinner in the refectory. George smiled when toasts were made. He handled the one copy he had of his book with pleasure. More copies were delayed somewhere in transit. He made a short speech of thanks to everyone involved in the project, despite getting some of the young tech's names wrong. George seemed happier than at any time since the FBI agents had shown the alternate mayhem video, and Caro was glad for him. Trevor recovered well from surgery. 5 days afterward, he had his first session in Wing 3. Uncharacteristically, his expression gave nothing away. However, because Caro knew him so well, she sensed his suppressed excitement, his intense concentration, his determination to assess the experience as objectively as he could. He lay on the cot, and Aiden hooked him to the machinery. Caro's stomach clenched. What if? A fear that she finally admitted to herself. Trevor's session changed him, as Lorraine had been changed. Trevor, with his irreverent wit and sharp mind, but also his youthful desire for monkhood. Was there a possibility he could become as smoothed out, as otherworldly as Lorraine? Caro loved Trevor as he was. She did not want to find herself dating the great cosmic everything. Then, the moment she always disliked, but never more than with Trevor, his mind departed, his face emptied of everything that made him Trevor. The screen brightened. The image of Trevor rose from the bed, but unlike every other implantee, he did not go toward the door. He walked to one of the chairs against the wall, carried it to the center of the room, and stood behind it, with one hand resting on its back. He turned toward the door, looking expectant. What was he doing? The door opened and Julian walked in. Caro felt the jerk of surprise from the Julian in the room with her, the real Julian in her mind, and then his displeasure. So he hadn't known that Trevor was going to put him into this alternate universe. The on-screen Julian crossed the room and shook hands with Trevor, leaning awkwardly over the chair between them. Then Julian left the room. George entered. Another start of surprise beside Caro. Shook hands. Left. Aiden. Then Barbara. What was Trevor doing? And was she next? She was not. James was next. Then Molly. After Molly left, Trevor walked around the chair and stared at it for long, silent minutes. What the hell? It was a completely unremarkable chair, of the kind found throughout the compound. Steel supports and arms, fake leather seat and backrest, both dull black. More, just like it, stood against the far wall. Caro had sat in at least one of them before, maybe this one. The session abruptly ended. Julian said, "What the fuck was that?" "An experiment," Trevor said from the cot. His voice sounded thick. "An experiment? How? You never left the room. And the test subject agreement you signed forbid any creation of anyone in the compound that..." "I know," Trevor said. "But I didn't do anything with any of you except shake hands. You weren't the focus of the experiment." "We weren't the..." "No, the chair was." Trevor sat up, and Caro got a better look at his face. She'd seen faces like that before, but not for a long time. Ellen, decades ago, on Christmas morning. Ethan, Kayla, maybe even Caro herself. A child gazing at wondrous, miraculous gifts heaped under a tree ablaze with lights. "It's real," Trevor said. "It is real. I created that chair in the branch universe. There were only four in this room, and in my branch, there were five." Caro tried to remember how many chairs had appeared on the screen. She hadn't noticed. "Six people entered that room and saw that chair. They had to, where I positioned it. After each of them left, I tried to change the chair any way I could, to imagine that it was green, or wicker, or Louis XIV. I'm adept at lucid dreaming, studied it for years. If this had been a dream or a hallucination, I would have been able to alter the chair at will. I've done it nightly in dreams ever since I read George's book. But I could not alter the chair because six other observers had contributed to its decoherence. And it existed as reality, not as hallucination or dream or drastically heightened imagination. As real as anything in this room right now. If the chair is real, then so is the rest of that branch universe. George's theory is right. It's right, Julian." "I never doubted it," Julian said tartly. But she sensed the complex emotion under the tartness, including chagrin, that he hadn't thought of this experiment himself. He said, "Barbara?" "Caro and I need more time with the mapping data, of course. But at first glance, it resembles everybody else's session. Except for increased activity in that part of the frontal lobe that handles judgment and reasoning." Caro felt cold. This was... what was this? Trevor's gaze was on her. She smiled at him, but her first coherent thought was, "Jesus, carrots! Wasn't this universe hard enough to live in without adding any other universes?" "Jesus, carrots," her father's favorite exclamation. She hadn't thought of it in years and years. It had always sent her, Ethan, and even toddler Ellen into gales of laughter. Ivan rushed into the room and handed Julian a piece of paper. He read it, and his eyes darkened from turquoise to navy. George said, "Julian? What is it? What's happened?" "Meeting. Now. With all of you. Aiden, unhook Trevor. Ivan, you too." They followed him to the big conference table, and Julian read the paper aloud. It was a printout of an article in the Florida Town Crier. The headline screamed in thick black letters, "Nobel Laureate's Secret Mind Control Experiments Prove Life After Death. FBI involved." The brief article, equally sensationalized, made the compound sound like a cross between a satanic cult and the Manchurian candidate. Barbara said, "Nobody trusts the Crier. It's a yellow journalism rag just one step above a supermarket tabloid. Maybe not even one step." Julian said tightly, "Better journalists will investigate because of Sam's name." Ivan said, "If they find the dark web stuff..." "They might. even though the FBI keeps taking down the website. Then the bastards put it up again under a different name. George, bewildered, said, "But they don't need to investigate anything. It's all there, in my book already. We want the public to know about my theory." "Not like this," Julian said. "Also, the article has details about the project that only someone in the compound would know. Did any of you talk to the reporter? Or anyone else?" Indignant denials. Julian said, "I didn't think so. But we need to talk to everyone who's ever set foot in Wing 3. I'm afraid a shitstorm is about to break over the entire project."